Every believer has a voice, and it's the voice of victory.
My God has made a way for me.
Let's go to James chapter 1, the oldest book in the New Testament, written by the half-brother of Jesus. Now notice something here. James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greeting. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations or different temptations, tests, and trials, knowing this, that the trying of your faith, it didn't take him three verses to get to faith. The trying, not the trying of you.
Right.
Tests, temptations, and trials are not trying you. They're trying your faith. They didn't come to teach you something. They came because of the devil. The scripture is good for teaching. The word is good for teaching. Now, don't get the idea that the Spirit of God won't take an opportunity to teach you something out of something stupid that I did. I didn't say you, I said me. Amen. And there's a lot of things I learned that if I just waited a little while and just looked at the book, I wouldn't have done it in the first place. Because I'm a committed man to what the Lord says in His book, in both covenants. So, knowing this, that the trying of your faith works patience. That is a fruit of the Spirit. Read the nine fruit of the Spirit in the Amplified translation, and instead of long-suffering, it is patience. And patience doesn't mean what the meaning that we've put onto it. No, the Bible meaning of patience is not to put up with. The Bible meaning of patience is endurance. In some ways, the King James translation of that is good. Long-suffering. Now, that's a fruit of the Spirit, not you. That's not... What do you have when you walk and live by faith and you believe what the fruit of the Spirit is? One of them is goodness. Yeehaw! What do you have when you put together love, joy, peace, goodness, long-suffering, so forth, faithfulness? When you cultivate that fruit and you live by faith, the fruit of the Spirit will bring holiness to the flesh. The fruit of the Spirit, this inward fruit coming out, brings holiness to the flesh. Now, notice what he said. You have to let patience do this by faith. Let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not. To upbraid just simply means to find fault. And it shall, the word will or the word shall, is one of the strongest affirmations in the English language. God said, I will, not I might. I shall, I will, I will hear from heaven. I will heal your land if you do certain things. So now here we are. And what that wisdom shall be given him or her. That wisdom will. It will be given. But it's conditional. Let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, for he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. Let not that man think that he shall receive healing. Let not that man think he shall receive money. Let not that man think he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. Well, that means a single-minded man is stable in all of his ways. What is a single-minded man or woman? A single-minded person is a person to whom the Word of God is final authority. Yeah, but I thought it was. Yeah, and I did too, but I found out it wasn't. I had to believe that. Folks, this is not hard. Let me demonstrate. Now, Brother Copeland, it could not be that simple. Yes, it can, and it is. Dwayne, I think I'm going to go to the store. I need to go to the store. I know the way to the store. I think I'm going to go. Really need to. If the weather's good, I don't know. Maybe I don't need it as bad as that. That's double-minded. Dwayne Munoz, I am going to the store, and I'm going at 3 o'clock. Do you understand me? And if you have any reason why I shouldn't go to the store, you better get out of my way, because I'm going to the store. That's single-minded. That's faith. I believe I'm going to the store, and I'm going. Amen. Amen. Now, let me give you another illustration. The storm is on. Jesus is asleep in the back of the boat. They woke him up and said, "Master, we're dying here." Well, now, wait a minute. You're calling him master, but you believe you're dying. He had to get up. All right. Hush, be still. Then what did he say? Where was your faith? Now, he had said, just before that, we are going to the other side. Okay. Now, Jesus didn't mix up a bunch of words. He intended to go to the other side. He had given the command. He's captain of the ship. He went to sleep. Yeah, but he's Jesus. Well, that's his name. That's his name. Yes, that's his name. Well, kind of. That's the Englishized name of it. His name is Joshua. Yeah. Yeshua. Yeah. And he was tired and he went to sleep. He intended for them to take care of things. So what did he say? Where is your faith? Why were you not single-minded on what I told you to do? You just roll us out here and when we die? Now Peter is the big spokesman. In fact, he was the one that said, "Don't you care? You're talking to..." when I was a spiritual infant, I said stupid stuff like that. Don't you care? And then I realized I needed my spiritual jaws slapped. And I got to where I'd slap it myself. I'm not easy. Just slap the... And don't you ever say that again. The one who cares. Cast the whole of your care over on Him because He cares for you. Now that's a command. That's not a suggestion. So, Peter could have, had he been more spiritually aware, an adult, or we could say this, put it in today's spiritual atmosphere, what should he have done? Now, I'm gonna put a little something in here, and you're sharp enough to catch it. Stood up there in the front of that boat and just hung on to it and said, Jesus said, we're going to the other side, and by the eternal almighty God, we're going if I have to walk. But he was the one that was bold enough to just crawl out of that boat. And for a moment, he was single-minded. He had his eyes on Jesus. But he let his occupation get in the way. He's a fisherman. He raised on that lake. It's a big lake. He was raised on that lake. Made his living on that lake. And it was a good living. He's a wealthy man. Amen. Now, single-mindedness is no good without faith. Because just being single-minded doesn't mean anything. Right. Until you exercise your faith along with your mind. Peter could have been that single-minded and stood up there and just shouted and shouted and shouted and shouted and shouted, but it would have done no good unless he believed that storm would set. When he said it, not when Jesus said it. Then later in his life, he became that bold man of God. Raised the dead. Glory to God. That same Jesus operating and functioning as a man. Now, understand this. This is something that must be not only understood, but you and I need to be so excited about this. I mean, this needs to be more prevalent on our thinking and in our minds. There is a born again, Holy Spirit baptized, resurrected man in the Godhead. And it's important that he is the center of the Godhead, the Father, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit. Now, why is that so important? Because all these covenants and everything God has done, He has done in behalf of man, mankind. So, man is in the middle of everything. And particularly on this earth, God created all of this whole thing. Before He created His man. And all of the creation, He saw that it was good and that it was very good. But wait a minute, something wasn't good. The man needed a woman. Yes. And so he took a bone out of Adam and created a woman. Don't you know she was something to look at? And Adam said, this is good. She was so beautiful. And he was so head over heels in love with her. And he had the honor and privilege of naming her. And she was so wonderful and so beautiful and so everything he could imagine in his whole being that he chose her over the Word of God. Two things that you want to really watch out for and be cautious about. The information that you read on Wikipedia. And don't Google my name. So far, it's 100% wrong. They got my net worth more than the whole ministry, all the buildings, all the gas wells. Which, I agreed with, but at the same time, it's a lie. No, just for the record, I am paid a salary. You don't need to believe what you see on Wikipedia, I question the biblical insight to an artist that paints Adam and Eve with a belly button. Cain, yes. Abel, yes. But not those two. It's slick. Adam, yes, a scar. Some of you didn't get it yet. All right, okay, I know. Let's go. Why is it impossible to please God without faith? What is his primary focus? You have to go back to the book of Genesis to find the primary focus of God, the blessing. Well, Adam messed it up. But that didn't mean he didn't continue to be blessed, because he did. But then you come down through the years and you come to a man by the name of Abram. What was Abram? His name was covenant changed to Abraham. The H in the middle of his name is Hashem. God in the middle of Abram. You'll no longer be called Abram, but Abraham. No longer a father, but the father of many nations. So, and what was Abraham's qualification? He would teach his children. And what was outstanding about him? He did everything by faith. He believed God, and it was accounted unto him for righteousness. Now, that accounting went over into the positive side of the ledger. It is no longer accounted to us for righteousness. Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Oh, this great chapter. Verse 6, Therefore, we are always confident, knowing that whilst we are at home in the body, we're absent from the Lord. Now, here it is. Listen, this is one of the reasons it's impossible to please Him without faith. For we walk by faith and not by sight. If you don't know anything else, you're on your way where faith is concerned. Well, we don't walk by what we see or what we feel or what we hear or what other people say. We walk by faith. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. We walk by faith. We walk by faith and not by sight.
My name is Clyde Oliver, and I'm a native of a small town called Crewe, Virginia, and in a county called Nottoway. So in 1977, I began listening to Brother Copeland on the radio. I went to a couple of meetings that Brother Copeland had in the area. But then one of the meetings that really stood out to me was the one I went to in Washington, D.C., D.A.R. Constitution Hall. And Brother Copeland is there. I'm just watching him mesmerized. I see myself now sitting up in the auditorium and looking down at the stage. And I said, man, this guy's, he's a good teacher. But then one of the things that really stood out to me was when he began to lead people in confession. I said, oh my God, he's not reading that. That's coming out of him. And I said, I want to be like that. And I just sensed the Lord saying that he wanted me to be a part of something like this. And so we headed this way. And I didn't, remind you, I didn't have a job. I heard the Lord say, go. We found a place, and then I came up here for an interview. And he asked me kind of like, Clyde, so what brings you here? I said, well, you know, one of the things Brother Copeland had been talking about is revival capital of the world. And besides his ministry, speaking to me personally of the word and all, I said, but the revival capital of the world, that just really stood out to me. And I felt like the Lord put it in my heart to be a part of that. And so after talking for a little bit, he said, you know, I believe God sent you here, and we're gonna hire you. And, you know, God will put you in places to grow you up. Exposure expands you. And so this was a place where I come to this place here, and God is going to expand me. He's going to give me a world view. Where I come from, again, the county was called Nottoway. And so we decided to walk with God, and God has shown us the way. Since that time, God has allowed us to preach on over 5 continents, you know, all because of my exposure and coming here. Brother Copeland's brother-in-law, Doug Neese, he came to me one day. He said, Clyde, Gloria said that she believed God sent you here and that she wants you to work with her in a healing school. Said, you'll be here for a season, but then you'll go from here and you'll have a strong healing ministry as well. I go down to the lunchroom. And while I'm there in the lunchroom, Brother Copeland comes over to me. I think I'm at the potato bar, fixing my baked potato and everything. Brother Copeland comes up to me. He said, Clyde? I'm like, yes? Because, you know, when you call, you never know what he's going to say after that, you know. He said, the Lord spoke to me 2 years ago that you're ready to go in full-time ministry and that if you went, everything would be okay. I'm like, really? Wow. So I began to preach from that point on. Jeremiah 29, verse 11. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. And I began to say, God has plans for you, and none of them include defeat. Satan has plans for you, and all of them include defeat. So follow God. So we don't follow money, we follow God. And so I always see my life is to pay attention to whatever's going on around, because there can be somebody else that need what I have. And so to be able to come back and speak here at the college, it really blessed me to be able to do that. It's kind of like a coming to full circle, and that walking in the Word, it makes the difference. And you do it when you feel like it, when you don't feel like it. It's a lifestyle. It's the life of faith. I just felt like the Lord said, when I came back here, He said, help the students to understand this one thing, Philippians chapter 2. It is God who is at work in you, both to will and to do of His good pleasure. The life of faith, walking, living this life, it's the best life. It's the greatest life. And there's no other foundation like the Word of God. And when your life is built on it, like Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7, you're building on a rock. My focus is not that what you do for me, it's what I cannot do for you. Because when it's all said and done, I want to stand before the Lord. I want to hear Him say, well done.
Pastor Clyde said that walking in faith is the best and greatest life. He built his life on the foundation of the Word and made faith his lifestyle. He listened to and obeyed the direction of the Lord, and God put him in a place to grow and to expand. And today, we see where his journey of faith has taken him, pastoring this wonderful church in Florida, ministering in nations around the world. And what a testimony of what Brother Copeland shared today about having single-minded faith. Now, we want to help you grow in that. We want to help you learn how to walk this life of faith. And that's why Kenneth and Gloria Copeland have a free resource to give you. It's called Faith in the Heart of a Believer. It's an audio series by Kenneth Copeland. And faith in your spirit is supposed to always be alive, always be active, because living by faith is something that you never stop doing. You activate the promises of God by faith. You call things that be not as though they were, by faith. By faith, you believe, you receive when you pray. It's a lifestyle, and living the life of faith is what keeps you on the road to victory all the time. Now, when tests and trials come, you've got to remember what Brother Copeland said. They're not trying you, they're trying your faith. And James 1 tells us that the trying or the testing of our faith works patience. And what does patience bring? Endurance and steadfastness. Now, you have got to get a hold of this teaching series and start releasing the spiritual force of faith on the inside of you. Go to kcm.org to get your free copy of Faith in the Heart of a Believer on MP3 disc or as a digital download. Now, let me ask you, are you receiving the Believer's Voice of Victory magazine? Because you can request your free subscription to KCM's monthly publication by simply going to kcm.org. Every month's issue will equip you with revelation from the Word of God. In this magazine, you're going to read articles from Kenneth and Gloria Copeland and other guest ministers. And there's also a section of partner testimonies that will inspire you, encourage you to believe God and trust God, because the same thing He's done in them, He will do for you. Now, whether you receive your copy by mail or online, still, I encourage you, share it with family, share it with friends, and let the Word of God do in their life what it's done in yours. Thanks for joining us today, everybody. We'll see you again next time. Until then, remember that Jesus is Lord.
Go to kcm.org/victory offer to download or request your free copy of today's broadcast. 2021 is the year of the local church, a year of divine healing, divine health, divine prosperity, and divine recovery.